The Good Son is a brand new book from author and comedian Greg Fleet. The book follows James and Sophie, who meet in unfortunate circumstances and decide to make a positive difference through some light deception. We're joined now by author of that book, Greg Fleet. Good morning.
Good morning. I love that little do-do-do-do-do, sort of good morning. Have you? Is this the start of your show? Have you been on for an hour already?
No, this is just the start of the hour. We've been on since 6:30.
Oh, wow.
We've played that theme three times.
Oh, wow.
We can send it to you if you want.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. That can be the official theme music to the book.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe for a re-release when you open it up like a Christmas card.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Good idea. Nice. We like it.
But let's actually talk about the book maybe.
Okay, good.
If you like. You've spent most of your career sort of telling personal stories and the like, you know, through comedy and both and through your previous book. What sort of drew you to fiction this time?
Just to do something different, I think, and you know, to... Yeah, just to tell other stories than going on about my boring life, which is, you know, it's starting to I'm finding tedious, the same stories that I've constantly told over and over. So it was, yeah, just a chance to do something different, and it was an idea I had, you know, for the story, and it just grew, and then I thought, yeah, let's just do it. It was originally an idea for a film or a TV thing, and then I thought, well, maybe write it as a book, and hopefully someone will pick it up. You know, and so that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it'll get turned into a film. Or a
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So what was the writing process for this book?
It was the last one. I wrote a memoir, and that I wrote a lot of that here, actually, in Adelaide. And that was, you know, me getting up every morning and writing for like 2 hours, and that was it. You know, and it took me about 3 months. And I thought that would be the same with this, but it was actually a much different process because it's actually harder to write a novel than it is to write a memoir. Because with a memoir, all you got to do is remember stuff. You just go, oh, what about the time we did blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the night before you have that thought and then the next morning you just write that chapter. But this was like, all right, well, hang on, how do those two people know each other? Or if they've met then how could he have known her back then? And you've got to sort of work out all that logic. So it was... and also I think I kind of, in the middle of it, I kind of stopped and then restarted again. So it was... It wasn't as regimented as last time. It was a bit more loose and all over the place. So it took longer to write, but probably in reality, the time spent sitting in front of the computer was about the same.
Now, one of the things I really enjoyed about this book is there's a sort of playful narrator that sort of speaks to the audience. Is that something that maybe... That was a useful tool for you, having, you know, spent so long sort of speaking directly to people?
Probably, yeah. It's something I hadn't really thought that much about, but a couple of people have asked me questions about this, and I think that's probably, you know, because I am really used to, you know, talking directly to an audience through stand-up and stuff, it probably worked. You know, for me, it seemed a logical thing to do with the book is just to talk... You know, sometimes talk directly to the reader in a voice that, you know, that is clearly an insider's kind of voice. You know, like saying, you know, and there are some things that are probably they're probably devices that have been used over and over and over. I have no idea, but you know, yeah, talking directly to the audience. You know, as though you're not really the writer. You're kind of the... I was trying to work out who that voice is, but you know, it sort of becomes clear towards the end. Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard you and other sort of comedians speak about, like in stand-up, if you're telling a personal story, maybe you'll sort of obscure the truth, you'll sort of blend three stories together or something to sort of tell like a larger narrative.
Yeah.
Did you maybe take the opposite approach with this one? Is there some nuggets of truth in the Good Son that like from your personal life?
Look, there are. The really weird thing that happened is the book starts with the main character missing the death of his mother in an old people's home. He gets waylaid and doesn't get there until it's too late, and she's already died. And the weird thing was I had that idea for this book maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago, and then started working on it. I actually wrote it over the last year. But about 2 years ago, having already had the idea a couple of years before that, the exact same thing happened to me. So it was really weird. Like, I was going down to visit my mother, who was in an old people's home, and I was going down the next day with my daughter, and I got a call saying that she'd died. And, you know, I mean, sorry to depress everyone at breakfast, but it was actually good. You know, she was quite ill, so it was it was a good death. It wasn't a terrible thing, but it was really weird that it took me about probably a year to go, oh, hang on, this is the idea. This is almost, exactly the idea I had for the book. So it kind of, inspired me to write it then, the fact that had happened to me.
Did you find writing the book a cathartic experience?
No more so than other things that I've done. I've done so many personal things that, I found it quite a fun experience. Like, I enjoyed writing it, and my then partner, who's still a very good friend of mine, Roz Hammond, who's a comedian sort of actress person, we would, most days I would read her, what I'd written that day or whatever, and it was quite fun to hear it back and, that sort of stuff. So, it was a very enjoyable process,
We're speaking with Greg Fleet about his new novel, The Good Son. Now, something that stuck out immediately, something that, just on the first page, that seemed very Greg Fleet, was the name Cash Driveway. And I'm sure you've spoken a bit about this, but where did that name come from?
It actually came from a friend of mine, a guy called Malcolm Hill, made up that name years ago. And I've used it twice. I actually used it in a live show that I did about a radio DJ whose name was Cash Driveway. And it's just such a great name. I just love the name and the fact that there's a guy called Cash Driveway. But he's the kind of, the comic relief in the piece. And if it gets made into a film, I want to be Cash Driveway. Yeah.
And talking about comedy, how has writing this book changed the way you do stand-up?
I don't know that it. I don't know that it has really. It's if anything, it's just opened my mind to wanting to do more of it. To wanting to do more. Write more books and do that, and hopefully, ideally, have them turned into, film or television things. Like, that would be my perfect world. Would be write a book, each year or each 2 years, and have it turned into a TV or a film thing, and then do a lot less stand-up. Not because I'm sick of stand-up or anything, but I'd love the idea of doing stand-up to, maybe just doing one gig a year in each capital city, or a couple of gigs, and saying to people, if you want to see me, this is it, this is where you have to come. So it's more a case of me, while I'm not sick of stand-up, I'm kind of over turning up to just stand-up gigs where people are going just to see comedy. I want people to be coming to see me, even if there's only 20 of them. I'd rather that than 100 people who are, some of them are interested and some aren't, and some people are like, oh, you're not like so-and-so, I don't like you. And you're like, well, of course I'm not like so-and-so. That's someone else, So, if anything, it's just I find if I only do stand-up, if that's the only thing I'm doing, I end up resenting it. So it's great to have other stuff, whether it's writing books or TV things or doing radio or whatever. Having other things to do makes it, if anything, it probably makes me enjoy doing stand-up more, because it's not the only thing I'm doing,
Well, on that note, should we be hopeful of more fiction in the future? Have you got more ideas that have been kicking around in your head for?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple. I mean, I need to sit down and really work out what the next one is exactly, but there are definitely a couple of ideas out there. There's got to be something, there's some kind of crime thing in my head somewhere, which, not a real crime thing, if you're listening. Definitely, I love the idea of in stand-up I've always felt that, I've had to live a certain life and then talk about that life, whereas with fiction, you can just make up anything, and I like the idea of that.
Well, before we get to read all those other books, we have The Good Son, which is out in the world now. Where can people find it?
You can find it at any good bookstore. And or you can, it's been released through Penguin. You can go online to Penguin and look up The Good Son or Greek Fleet, and it'll come up and you can order it that way. But all good bookstores. In fact, today I'm going to I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. It might be breaking
Go on, why not?
I'm going to, at lunchtime, I'm going to Dimmick's in the mall and signing copies if anyone wants to come.
Without the masking, or have they invited you?
No, they have actually invited me. I'm not just turning up to do it. But, yeah, I think that's at midday. So if you want to turn up at Dimmick's in the mall today, I will be signing copies of it.
Well, Greg, thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you very much. And I like your UMI T-shirt.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Greg Fleet there, author and comedian, speaking with us about his new novel, The Good Son. And you can also catch Greg performing tonight at the Rhino Room.
Of course. Sorry, I didn't mention
his headlining, which is, before he only does capital cities once a year.
Yes, I would always do the Rhino Room. I would always do the Rhino because it's one of the greatest rooms in the world.
Very true. Thank you again, Greg, for your time.